IRS on the Road, value-based parenting and life balance ideas from world-traveling family coaches. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
Hello, and welcome back to IRS on the Road.
We're IRS in the air. We just got off a plane returning from Newport Beach, where we went there for, didn't we go there for your knee recovery primarily, honey?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's the main reason.
We went there for Richard's tennis tournament, and he did really well. But now we're back, and there's always something else tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow.
In fact, we're heading right from here straight up to Bear Lake. Can you imagine that our little Sadie, 50 years old, we're going to her birthday party. My goodness. I mean, it's one thing to be getting a little older yourself, but when your children are turning 50, then you have to really think about it for a while, right?
Yeah, you really do.
But I just want to say how proud I am of this girl sitting beside me, this Linda. It's 3 weeks and one day since her knee replacement. She got on and off a plane. She walked through the airport. She came and watched a 2.5 hour tennis match, which shows a crazy amount of loyalty. And right now she's grimacing just a little.
Just a little bit of pain in my knee. I wonder why. Anyway, we did have a good time. It was nice to see a beautiful sunshine and a little bit of humidity right there by the ocean. It was beautiful.
You know, people, you've maybe been in this debate. People say, well, if you could live on the beach or in the mountains, which one would you choose? I mean, as though those are probably two of the best kind of things you could live around. And we've been at a gorgeous beach for the last few days, and now we just landed and we drove up into the mountains. And I don't know, where do you come out on that, Linda? Beach or mountains? If you had to choose one or the other,
I would just say both. You got to figure out some way to
big mountain
get to both at some time or other. Yeah. But it was lovely. Tennis tournaments are so, they're really kind of fun. They're a lot different than the U.S. Open.
Not quite as many people.
Older people walking around really enjoying each other, and nobody is going to die if somebody wins or loses. It's just kind of a lovely atmosphere.
I'm just going to say, I think today I would choose the mountains, because as lovely as that beach was, something about mountains in autumn, the slant of the light, the warm sun on your back. I mean, it's just hard to beat. It's just really amazing. But this is pretty good timing to do. Our theme today is the physical.
Exercise.
How to live the second half of life physically. And we did diet last week, and we're doing exercise this week. And I'm smiling, but not too big of a smile, because Linda is shifting around here trying to get this leg a little bit more comfortable so that she can be coherent.
Yeah, exactly.
What, that cold is not doing very good.
No, it's just making that funny. But anyway, that's beside the point. But we have some really fun things for those of you who are doing this program, Second Half of Life. We have a really fun video by our wonderful friend Margaret Archibald. She is a champion with her physical health. Absolutely amazing. She's hiking mountains. She's 78, and she finds somebody that can hike with her all the time. She's going everywhere, up and down. And then she has a secret behind that, and it is that she exercises every morning. And she is going to show you her
She did.
Exercise.
Put it on Instagram already. She's amazing that she just believes in certain exercises that strengthen your core, and she sees it purely as a means to an end. I'm going to do this every day because I'm going to need a strong core and strong ligaments around my knees and my hips and so on in order to do the end for me. That's the means. The end is hiking. The end is being in Switzerland. The end is climbing a mountain. And
No.
And we all, that's really one of the points of this whole business of exercise, is that it enables you. It enables you to do what you want to do for a longer period of time, right?
It does. And sometimes, this is just my theory, but sometimes you can do too much exercise, which I did when I was about 48 or so. We climbed Mount Kilimanjaro with our kids, and I'm not a hiker. And I did do lots of initial hikes and stuff. I did great. And then
You did some practice hikes and
I
you
did
were
lots
fine.
of,
Yeah.
but my knee hurt all the
But
time.
Kilimanjaro is another story.
But then Kilimanjaro is another story. And coming down, I was in excruciating pain. And I thought on the way down, I am ruining my knees for my future. And I kind of did because I had my other knee down 6 years ago. And now I'm on this one, but I still wouldn't give it up. It was really amazing.
But wasn't the 5 days climbing to the
Right.
summit, it was the 2 days coming
Coming down.
down.
Yeah. But that's all right because that's the way life goes. You just do things and you don't realize what's going to happen, and then you just deal with what happens. But gosh, I'm going to be running in 2 months from now. That's my goal. Not running because I couldn't run before, but I can jog.
Before we leave our friend Margaret Archibald, though, let us mention when we say Instagram that this course we're doing has a podcast part that you're actually listening to, and it has an email part and it has a Zoom part, but it also has an Instagram part and little short posts. I think Margaret's is like 3 minutes. In 3 minutes, she's showing you all these core exercises, and I'm reporting for my tennis tournament, and Linda's reporting on her knee recovery and so on. And if you want to watch them, you don't even need to subscribe to Instagram. Well, maybe you do, I don't know, but you can just go to Instagram.com and then slash HTL second half, how to live second half, HTL second half.
Is it just two and the second?
No, just
He spells it out.
HTL second half spelled out,
Spelled out.
all
Okay.
strung together. Now we're having a lot of fun with this, and it just seems kind of serendipity because, we were talking about diet last week, we're talking about exercise this week, we're talking about doctors and finding the ones that really serve your interest next week, the 3rd week of the month. And then we're talking about places that rejuvenate you physically the 4th week of the month. And that's the first of these 7 months, seven facets, if you will, of how to live the second half of life. And then in October, we'll move on to the mental, how to live the second half of life mentally. But it does seem like it seems like our life subconsciously somehow is
Kind of goes
fitting
along with
what
it.
we're doing. So here you are with the knee, and we're doing the physical, and I'm playing in this tennis tournament, and our two of our daughters are running the St. George
Marathon.
Marathon and coming up in just a couple of weeks. And it's just given us a chance to think a lot, and that's what the whole point of the course and of these podcasts on this little theme of how to live the second half of life. Whether you're into it for yourself or you're listening to it because you want to help your parents live the second half of life better, it's just all important. And there's so many nuances to it. I've been thinking a lot this week about competition. Because generally, especially in the world we live in today and with the awful events of this last week, we often think of competition between factions, between ideologies, between where you get your news, between politics. And it can be ugly. Competition, in the worst sense of the word, is always win-lose. It's always who's going to win, who's going to lose, who's right, who's wrong. And it becomes vitriolic in many cases, and we hate when that happens. Is there a good part of competition? And my answer is yes, and it's sports, because sports is where we ought to let our aggressions out. That ought to be the purpose for sports, to get them out on a playing field and not in the political arena or not in hate speech or whatever.
I think you're using the wrong word when you say sports is the place to let our aggressions out, because that's not, sports is not what about aggressions, or,
it's about competition.
It's about competition, absolutely.
And I think that's, it can be a good thing in that sense of the word. And so, and we've been challenging people all week to do aerobics 20 minutes a day, every day. We've been saying you can find something. Linda's doing it on a stationary bike right now, and I'm doing it on a tennis court.
Not every day, though, honey. Most doctors say three times a week.
I think a little aerobics every day. Just
they know you do.
Yeah, and what is aerobics in our mind? Just getting your heartbeat roughly to double its resting rate. So that's not a terribly aggressive thing. Especially when you have a low resting heartbeat like mine is about 50. I just, no problem on a tennis day, but on other days I do the treadmill or I run or something. And some are saying, well, I can't run or I can't move or I've got this injury, I've got this illness. If you work at it, you can find something that you can get your heartbeat going a little bit every day. And I think that's a good idea.
Okay.
Now, what do you think about that? Longing for the time when you can get your leg.
I'm not as athletic as you are, and I have not been my whole life. I just love relaxing.
Relaxing is exercise.
I mean, for years and years, I was chasing kids. I mean, I'm sure it was what just running 3 or 4 miles a day, just keeping up with kids. But as we get older, we get more sedentary, and it really is important to think about what should I do today to improve my health and my flexibility. And flexibility is really huge when you're our age. I know we're talking to some 55-year-olds.
Some 40-year-olds.
Who don't need this. And the next generation, I think, will be different, don't you? Because, nobody'd heard of a marathon when we were their age. We'd never heard of a marathon.
Well, it happened in Greek history.
Maybe at the Olympics. That was it. And now all these kids are running marathons. I mean, the New York Marathon, the Boston Marathon. They are just so delighted using their bodies. It's just crazy to me. But it really is important, and it'll be interesting to see what happens in this next generation.
Well, and we're learning so much more about the benefits of moving your body. Just yesterday, just last week, while we were in Newport Beach, we were reading a New York Times piece that they've now found that exercise fights cancer, not only in the preventative sense, but in the actual sense that exercise fights cancer at the molecular level. And so we're just continuing to find benefits of, and I take your point, you can overdo it. We know people who are literally addicted in a way that's obsessive to certain kinds of exercise. But I would say generally, an addiction to exercise, an addiction to the endorphins you get when you run or when you exercise or when you move vigorously, that's a pretty positive addiction.
Yeah, it is. I think we are pretty good balance here, because I think you're a little far on the other side and I'm a little far on the downside. You're on the upside, on the downside. But you have convinced me that this is really important for future health. It really, your health now, but for what's coming in the future.
Well, philosophically, I think we should just share how we, philosophically and spiritually, how we look at this. And correct me if I go too far on this, honey, but we essentially feel that the essence of you, the essence of me, the essence of a person is not their brain or their body. It's their spirit. It's something that has existed before our body and mind were here. It's who we are. It's our essence. And the two main tools that we have as spirits, physical tools, are our physical body and our brain. And we can use and strengthen and maintain those tools in a way that really, really serves us. And some people say, well, You're doing this course now on how to live the second half of life, and we know you, Iris, for your work on parenting and on family and on relationships and on life balance. So why don't you start the course with how to live your life in your family, or how to live your life communally, how to live your life in terms of relationships? And we are going to get to that. Those are facets coming up. But the answer is, we thought we ought to start on how to live your life physically, because how you live your life physically is the thing that's going to determine how long you will have to live these other facets of your life, and how good you'll feel, and how capable you'll be of some of the things we're going to challenge you to do in the other facets of how to live your life in the second
So, speaking of the second half, we're going to take a little
half.
break right now and then come back and talk a little bit about how genetics works into this, because they do. And so, hang on, and we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Iyer's on the Road. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
And we're back. We have talked about exercise the whole first half, but I think we need to talk about genetics as well, because genetics does play a huge part in our physical bodies as well as some other things, but I think maybe physical more than anything.
Well, and that'll also tie into next week, the third week in the month, where we talk about medical care and getting tested and what kind of tests are available now. It's so amazing. And you really can find out genetically whether you're predisposed to certain cancers, whether you're predisposed to certain conditions. And you're right, honey, it's huge. I mean, it's you are who you became through your ancestry, essentially.
Absolutely. I am so grateful for my beautiful ancestors for generations and generations were farmers. They were out there working their hearts out and exercising every day because it was their livelihood. They had to. But I do think it comes down. I mean, everybody, you're genetically a part of a lot of different people. So it isn't just your parents and grandparents, but I think that's the biggest influence. And when I think about my parents, who my mom loved exercise, she was very athletic. My dad was a farmer, and he was out working so hard
He
his whole
was a
life.
hard worker.
And with absolutely no medical care. I remember my dad going once to the doctor when he had a heart attack.
Yeah, nothing
And that was
less
really.
would have brought him to
And
the
that was when he was
doctor.
65. He lost a lot of weight. He did what he needed to do and made it to 87. And my mom was 90. So, you never know exactly how your body's put together, but I do think genetics plays a huge part. I mean, we talk about the dangers now of cream and milk and eggs and meat
It's
and
all they
all those
ate.
things. That is all they ate, but they worked it off. They really use their bodies well. And I think that's one way of God telling them this is the way to keep shape.
Well, and what you're saying, honey, by the way, we got several nice comments last week on the podcast where we were quoting a little from our diet book, The Half Diet Diet. But there's also a little part in there about exercise. And you hadn't read this earlier, but this is just what you were saying. Read that little paragraph.
Earlier generations didn't have to think or strategize nearly as much about the input or output, which is exactly what I'm saying. Their hard physical work was the output, and it was usually so strenuous that it burned up all the input, no matter what it was. But in our age of technology and desk or keyboard jobs, we clearly need a well-thought-out and carefully implemented strategy for both input and output. The point is that it can be an enjoyable strategy.
Absolutely. In fact, while we're on that point, let's just go a little further. Another way to say it, putting less and better food into your body and more water, which was what we were talking about last week, is going to make your body work better, but you've still got to make your body work.
Right.
That's the whole point,
Done.
right? Should it be a chore, a task, a constant struggle to force this work to happen, to force your body to exercise? Does it have to be something you hate doing, but you keep doing it nonetheless out of duty? Exercising, like eating, should be one of the natural and simple and pure joys of life. It should feel good while you're doing it, as well as when you're done. And it should be a way of rewarding yourself, not a way of punishing yourself. Does it feel like I'm preaching to you a little bit right now?
It does, because I feel like it's a punishment. Like, how soon can I stop? But it really, a lot of it has to do with your mental state of mind. But I don't enjoy exercise like you do. I know it's important to do, but I just don't.
But read that paragraph right there.
The key to find your form of exercise, to find the exercise you love and the one that makes your body smile while it's sweating out that poor cleaning,
poor cleaning water.
Cleaning
is going to clean those pores.
Pumping those endorphins around through your expanded lungs and your healthier cardiovascular system.
This is what I wrote in the next paragraph. For me, it's tennis. It used to be basketball. Now it's tennis, singles without breaks between games. Therefore, it's aerobic. For my spouse, Linda, it has been the bike, the electric bike more recently. For my daughters, it's running. For my sons, it's basketball. For my friend, it's the aerobic yoga class at the gym. It's hot yoga. It has been a good, it has a good nursery for their preschoolers. For another friend, it's the Stairmaster. Well, he reads the morning paper every day. For yet another friend, it's early morning lap swimming. I mean, there's no end of possible things you can try to find that you love, right?
I have to say that we have a darling friend, and we're down in the exercise room. We're living in a condo halftime now, and we go down there, and honestly, this lady comes in, and she is magnificent. She's maybe in her 50s, you think, or maybe early 60s, but she just goes like,
I know who you're talking about.
Crazy.
I'll even say her name, Ingrid. Ingrid.
Ingrid sounds good.
Ingrid burns more calories in 5 minutes than I can burn in an hour.
Well, she goes on for an hour just going as fast as she can. And every time I go in and say, Ingrid, how can you do that? She said, I do this because I can eat anything I want if I do this. And she's
a means to an end. There
yeah,
you
she's
go.
Trim and beautiful. And I just don't think I can make myself do that. But, you know, to each his own in a lot of ways. But we do have to figure out what our comfortable spot is.
Linda, here's one of the simplest tips we will ever give on this radio show. And I actually think this will work for everyone. And I think it is a slam dunk. It's just one of those things. And I'm going to say it this way. We watch TV. I mainly watch sports on TV. We've been watching the U.S. Open tennis, which has been a great therapy for Linda while she's been recovering.
I do love to watch tennis. I have to love that because I watch my husband.
And should we be honest enough to say sometimes we get hooked on these crazy multi-part series and we tend to binge on them, and when one gets over, you just say, well, just one more episode because we got to see what's going to happen.
We have been known to do that.
So we're not without our vices, and one of them certainly is TV now and again. I like really large screen TVs. I like to feel like I'm in the TV. But here's my point. Here's what I'm getting to. What do you usually do while you're watching TV? You eat. The commercial comes on, or you get a break and you go to the refrigerator, and I'm guilty of that.
You eat.
Well, dear, now you
eat during.
But you don't have to do it as much as I do, so I'll speak for myself. But here's the thing. Simplest tip of all. If you can never eat while you're watching TV, and if you can always exercise while you're watching TV, what does that mean? Just a stationary bike in front of the TV, or an elliptical, or a treadmill, or just being on the floor and doing crunches. I mean, if you can use the TV time to burn it up rather than put it in, that one
Oh,
simple
but wait a
change
minute.
can make a huge
Oh,
difference.
okay. Just have your little carton of cherries on
No,
hand, and you
no, don't.
just have a little nibble here and there while you're on.
If everyone listening and everyone that ever listening talked to was to just say, I'm not going to eat in front of TV anymore, I'm only going to exercise in front of TV, it would change the world.
It would help a lot in obesity. But I'll remind you of that next time I see you exercising
With the
with your
Cherry
cherries.
Garcia. By the way, we left a whole carton of Cherry Garcia in the condo we stayed in Newport Beach.
I'm
Somebody's
going
gonna
home
have
after.
to. Should we go back and get it? Someone is gonna get rewarded for staying there. One other little thing, honey, that I think is really kind of plays a role here, and I'm gonna be the one who admits something.
Oh, good.
As you get a little older, as you're moving into the second half of life, whether you're in your 40s or whether you're in your 80s, we have one woman who's joined this course who's 93. She's the oldest one we know of so far, and we just had a 40-year-old join the other day. So it's a pretty broad, the second half is big, but the principles are the same, whether you're in the upper part of that or the lower part. And one of the things you need to learn to do, it's like the old Kenny Rogers song, which is about poker. I'm not advocating poker or card games. They're not aerobic card
No,
games.
I can't
But
imagine
it
why you're
was
concerned.
Kenny Rogers used to say, you gotta know when to hold them, know when to fold them. In other words, you gotta know when to keep doing something, and you gotta know when to quit. And there are things you need to move beyond. And we have had horses all our lives. Mainly, well, Linda's had them all her life. And when I fell in love with Linda, I also fell in love with the ranch she lived on and with horses. And we've had horses and we love those horses. But the last one died a year ago, and I was thinking of getting another one. And what did you say?
No more horses. We can think of another thing that could make us happy, but not
You
only,
knew when to fold them,
yeah,
see?
exactly.
And it's the same with I this one hurts me to admit, because basketball's been, you could say, part of my life for such a long time, but I'm around the verge now. I haven't totally made this resolution yet, but I think it's time to fold them on basketball, just because I could get a hurt knee that could stop me from tennis or from running. I'd be a mess. You wouldn't want to even live with me or be around me. So maybe that's time to fold them, but replace them with something. If you're going to stop doing something that's kept you motivated physically and been your form of exercise, don't quit it without finding a replacement for it. Does that
Yeah,
make
a good
sense?
idea. Yeah. So I have to say that I really have not been an exercise nut. I haven't
You've
exercised
never
there.
experienced that addiction.
I haven't experienced that
Chocolate,
addiction
yes.
yet, right?
Exercise, no.
True. But it really is interesting that I have become more involved
Yes,
since I've
you
been out
have.
there because I've realized I have to. And I'm sorry that that feels like I have to, but it does feel like I have to, but to take care of myself. So I've found ways to read while I'm on the bike or do something useful, or you can check your email on the bike. Don't just ever sit there and do nothing. It's just not ever, but it's just so good to keep your body going while your mind's going.
And maybe a final thought, or a second to final thought. It's when you're exercising, you're stressing your body. You're doing it on purpose. You're building your body. You're making it better by putting it under pressure and making it move and making it try and making it strive. But the other side of that, and I think this is something we're losing, a lot of people are losing, is the ability to really relax. Part of it is we've always got a phone in our hand. We've always got FOMO. We're always checking on something. Our mind's active. We're looking. We're never just doing nothing. And if we lose, that's the flip side of the coin of exercise, is the working, the stressing, the pushing. But the other side is knowing how to really and truly relax. And a large part of that, we said on the show last week that the two best things in life really are free. They're water. We should all drink more water. And they're air. We all need to learn to breathe better. And just stopping and pausing and taking two or three really deep breaths where you fill your lungs and then releasing it to where you really empty your lungs. Just two or three of those cleansing breaths can help you to relax. And I don't know if people will even resonate with this, honey, and you think I'm a little weird for this, but I've found when I really want to relax, I need to start with my wrists and my ankles. For some reason, if I'm laying down and I want to relax quickly, I can't just say body completely, the whole body relax. I need to start somewhere. And for me, move the hands a little, move the feet a little, get the wrists and the ankles to go really, really limp and loose. And for me, that spreads to the rest of my body. And I've gotten good enough at it where I can completely relax in a matter of seconds.
You know, I do have to say that you are very lucky, because I can't even take a nap, no matter how tired I am. I can't, and you're always saying, just really relax your wrists.
Start with your wrists and your ankles.
It is not working for me. But it's amazing that you can do that with your body. I don't know what's mental and physical or what, because I'm thinking, oh, this isn't going to work. And you're thinking, this is going to work for sure. So maybe it'll work for you. You can give it a try. But it is important to keep your mental health steady as you do your physical health, I think.
So thanks for being with us. Next week, we're still on the physical part of how to live the second half of life, but we're going to move to doctors, medicine, tests. That's not going to be repulsive or hard to listen to. On the contrary, we're going to suggest some new approaches you may not have thought of, where all that sort of thing becomes your friend. And actually, on the last point we made, helps you to relax more. By knowing more, that you're not going to be surprised in some catastrophic way.
Does it help to relax your wrists and your ankles?
That would help, too. When you're waiting to go to the doctor, sitting there in the outer office,
that's probably right.
Relax those wrists and ankles.
Anyway, we hope we've given you something to think about. No matter what age you are, we all need exercise in our lives. Figure out what works for you.
We'll put a little more about this, how to live the second half of life, in the show notes. But whether you're actually joining the course or just listening to the podcast, we love you as fellow humans who are aging, because we all are, and it's a good thing.
And we could say fellow strugglers, but it's a good struggle. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time on Ayers on the Road.